Dot, don't shop.
This public service announcement has been brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio.
How's everybody doing? This is DJ Duncan. You're live on the bounce. Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, Tuesdays 4 to 5. Listen up. DJ Duncan here with you guys. It's kind of a sad day for me. Last show. Had great run, you know. Had a great time being here, having you guys listen in. Had some great guests in the past, some good call-ins, and I'm kind of sad, you know, that it's coming to an end. I've been having some fun with it. Definitely felt like I have improved, you know, being on the radio, giving my radio voice, trying not to say and like too many times. Anyways, besides being a sad day, I have an action pack today for you guys here on Penguin Radio. We're going to be talking about the NBA inside and out. Huge news for the NBA. There's a bunch of stuff going on. Steph Curry going crazy last night after his somewhat, you know, not so Stephen Curry like performance against the Los Angeles Lakers. We're also talking about the presidential election. Big day, not really related to basketball in a sense, but some players do have their voices being heard. And it's becoming an issue, you know, that these guys are voicing their opinions. Not really a bad issue in a sense because, you know, the NBA wants them to be doing this. But could it go for a wrong turn in one of these days? You know, we don't know. That's what we're going to be discussing. Also, some trade rumors have been coming up. Very unlikely trade rumors. I've heard some things coming out of, you know, out of the woodworks that are just like, whoa, that's not going to happen. But they're there, so we're gonna be talking about the recent trade rumors. Definitely some interesting scores, past games. We're going to be keeping you guys updated for what to look out for, as well as the games going on tonight. Later on, I'm going to have a good buddy, Gio Medina, join us about halfway through the show. He's previously been on, and those who have listened to him before know he's very educated in the basketball game, knows his ins and outs, and gives a great attribution to the show. Well, let's get it started. Stephen Curry breaking the three-point record. Whew. He went crazy. Crazy last night, hitting 13 threes, I believe. You know, 10 of 13, or 13 of 17. You know, it's another record to his book. 13 three-pointers in a game. No one has ever done it. It sounds so minuscule to a guy like Stephen Curry, who launches the ball from nearly half court to make it. Excuse me, but he had a memorable night. This is coming after he dropped the ball a little bit and had a performance that was, you know, definitely skewed on by people who are viewing. You know, definitely was saying what's up with Curry, lost to the Los Angeles Lakers. Had a good game against Kevin Durant and company. Here's what Stephen Curry had to say after his record performance night.
One of those
night.
Moments where the exclamation point is put on by setting the record. I mean, imagine that, 39 points just from three-point shooting tonight from Steph Curry. What a ridiculous performance.
Now, I would say so, ridiculous and historic. Here's Steph after the game.
Congratulations on history, 13 made threes in a game. Were you aware of the record?
At the end of it, yeah, I was. I knew I tied it last year, but didn't know how the game was going to unfold. And guys set great screens all night. Even that last play, they had the kind of IQ to know where I was, and Draymond throws a great pass, so pretty fun night.
What kind of response is that, Steph? I mean, you go 0 for 10 last game, and then the next game you set an NBA record for threes made. What kind of response is that?
I just stick with it. Like I told you earlier, same thing we talk about in the locker room. No matter what happened yesterday, today is a new opportunity. So, I wasn't even thinking about it over 10, really. I was thinking about it in practice the last 2 days, but after that, it's over. And it's nice to just keep shooting, and thankfully they went in.
You know, throughout the game, in the second half, you guys lost some intensity, let them climb back into the game. How do you, as a team, avoid those lulls?
I mean, it's going to be a growing pains in a process. We just have to just be as focused as we can to just to have that stick-to-itiveness through 48 minutes. I mean, it's hard, but to us to get to where we want to go, we have to develop that and continue to focus on the details of the defensive end that can help us, you know, win the championship.
And I know you've hit 12 threes twice. Is it kind of cool to get over the hump finally with 13 and get the record?
It is. I mean, that's a pretty cool record to have. I know it probably won't last too long with how guys are shooting in this league now, but, you know, to have a three-point record is something that's pretty special that you can have in the back pocket.
Congrats, Steph.
He was definitely being a little bit humble there at the end. You know, he seemed pretty excited. He was gunning for the record. As the game go on, you could definitely tell he had the hot hand, and even in the fourth quarter, he added three more three-pointers to his tally, and that really shows, you know, he knew about the record in the back of his mind. Definitely as the fourth quarter approaches, even on his last shot, he was trying to get it off in time so that they would count his record, you know. So great, memorable moment for Stephen Curry. You know, 6 of 8 in the first half from threes, you know, eventually coming up with 46 points. It was an important 46 points. You know, they ended up beating the New Orleans Pelicans 109-97. But it was a memorable night for Stephen Curry, especially after he had his poor performance against the Los Angeles Lakers. Like I said, they lost by nearly 20 points to the Los Angeles Lakers. This had all eyes on Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant. Stephen Curry went 0 for 11 or 0 for 10, and that's never – he's never – he hasn't missed a three – or he hasn't not made one three-pointer in a game since – I believe 2014. Crazy stat right there. He's going to give you a three-pointer every game, you know, and for him not to miss one since 2014, that's crazy. You know, definitely had all eyes on him when he did drop the ball and against the Los Angeles Lakers, but it happens, you know, and the NBA is a game of its up and downs, has its runs. So for him to come back and retaliate after that performance shows a good, you know, amount of perspective of who Stephen Curry is, what kind of player, what kind of mindset. Like he said at the end of that interview, definitely had it in the mind of my back of my mind the last 2 days in practice. No doubt that that's all he was thinking about. 0 for 10 lost to the Los Angeles Lakers. It was probably really, really a tough pill for Stephen Curry to swallow, and he, you know, came back firing, and he said after the Los Angeles Lakers game in the press conference, "I'm gonna keep shooting." You know, and he showed that last night after he made 13 threes. You know, it's an NBA record. No one has ever done it. He's hit 12 twice, like she mentioned. And it was a special night. You know, he was hard on himself during practice, and you can't really overreact to going 0-10 or 2-12 or 4-14 because you have another game to play, and that's what he really showed. What the NBA is about is you need to bounce back and you need to show that you can play with any guy or any team in the league. And for him to redeem himself and his team, you know, he had to get on another level of focus. And the last 2 days, he had to get his rhythm back. He had to see the ball go in during practice. It was crazy, you know, shooting 13 for 17 behind the arc, you know, and breaking it with only 2:23 to go. You know, he knew it was happening, like I said. He previously shared the record of 12 with the great Don, Kobe Bean Bryant, and Donyell Marshall. Donyell Marshall was on the Cavaliers, I believe, when LeBron James was just a rookie. I'm trying to think of back to that team. I'm pretty sure Donyell Marshall was a small forward, maybe power forward, just a knockdown shooter, maybe because LeBron James was on his team. Yeah, probably being biased a little bit there. So, you know, Curry grabbed the spotlight back to Golden State, you know, and Kevin Durant. You know, he raised his right arm and pumped his chest like he always does after he did that. And it was a memorable performance, good for the organization, definitely because they came out dropping the ball to San Antonio Spurs. Eventually blew out OKC and Russell Westbrook, which we will talk about. We can talk about that next. Blew them out, and then to come back, lose to the Los Angeles Lakers, and then to come back and break the record. It's they're an un inconsistent team right now, and that's what I'm seeing from them definitely in the past couple games, that they've been a little bit inconsistent, and this could potentially hurt them in big games when it matters. You know, you want to see players that are going to be being consistent and doing things every single day. For them to lose one, drop one, lose one by 20, win by 30, lose one to the Los Angeles Lakers, who are on the come up, and then come and make a record night, you know, I don't see this really playing into Golden State's favor, you know, at the end of the season. Definitely think a team with more cohesiveness, San Antonio Spurs, even the Rockets, you know, could be a potential threat to the Golden State Warriors, and this could be dangerous in the long run. So we will be keeping our eyes on Kevin Durant and the Golden State's Warriors. But it's going to be hard for them to find that cohesiveness and to find that balance between when to go, when to lay off, when to let your star player go. Because, you know, teams say that they don't have a bench and they argue, oh, they're not going to really have a deep lineup. Well, essentially, they're always going to have one of their four all-stars, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, or Kevin Durant, on the floor at all times. They're going to have one of them's going to be there, you know, with the backup group. So, in a sense of the arguing that they're not going to, be deep enough, it's tough to say. I think what they lack is size and definitely a rebounding presence. They haven't really been playing JaVale McGee too much, besides the end of the games, really. Hasn't been getting really his feet wet in the organization. You know, he's been playing good, playing backup minutes for Pachulia. Pachulia's been playing very decent. So it's going to be interesting to see their small ball and how that's going to work out eventually towards the end of the season in the playoffs when they try to make their playoff run. It's going to be hard to see where the consistency is and if they could do it every night, you know, so that's going to be tough to see. Well, that covers the Golden State Warriors, Stephen Curry, babyface assassin himself, breaking a record, having a record performance night last night. Truly something truly special to him and the organization. You know, as a basketball fan, it's fun to see, you know, guys go off like that because they're just in the zone, you know, and that's something you always dream of or always, you know, could see yourself being in. So definitely cool watching on as a viewer. So next topic, let's talk about OKC versus the Golden State Warriors. We have a highlight matchup with them, those two teams facing off a couple days ago. It was highly anticipated, very highly anticipated, you know, that Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant would be seeing each other for another time, you know, and after seven, eight years being together, you know, and then playing each other on different teams. It's hard, you know, it's hard to do that, and people thought they were really close, and it's tough to see a breakup like that happen in the league. They were so well together. They had so many amazing playoff runs, Kevin Durant was leading scorer for how many years, he won an MVP in OKC. They had memorable moments, as we talked about on previous shows, but them coming up to the Golden State Warriors, Russell did not play well, you know, and it was tough, you know, to see Russell struggle like that because he doesn't really have too much help like the Golden State Warriors do. He has Victor Oladipo, you know, it's tough because he doesn't have a key scorer with Steven Adams. We've been seeing Steven Adams try to attack the glass way more on the offensive end just because they need another player to give them, you know, a kind of a oomph off the sideline and really help them. But it was tough to watch. They ended up losing, I think, by about like almost 30 points, which was a tough loss for Russell Westbrook. Now, after the game, you know, he says that the Warriors were talking smack, you know, and he was like, quote unquote, I guess the Warriors are a trash talking team now. And that was interesting because there was some tension between Kevin Durant and some Oklahoma City Thunder players. Now, Russell Westbrook kind of stayed out of the mix and wasn't really talking any trash himself. You know, was really kind of just trying to be in the zone. Even though he didn't have, you know, a stellar performance like he usually does, you know, I think he was too much into it. And it was tough, you know. It was tough to see that. He definitely needs some help. You know, there was an altercation with Enes Kanter and Kevin Durant. Now, you don't have to believe me now, folks, but this is a word on the street that he told Enes Kanter from the bench. This is around, I believe, the third quarter, is when KD turned to the bench and started, you know, yapping something towards the Oklahoma City Thunder bench, and players started like kind of like breaking it off. Steven Adams was telling Enes Kanter, you know, kind of signaling him to kind of shush, but Enes Kanter supposedly said, you know, where was that in the playoffs to Kevin Durant? And that's kind of poof, 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 shots fired, you know, right at Kevin Durant, because it's true. When they needed him in the most, in the crucial part against, you know, the Golden State, keep on wanting to say Golden State, the City Thunder, you know, that's what definitely the Kevin Durant brought to, you know, the Warriors. But, you know, they were up to Golden State 3-1. And Kevin Durant had three chances to put them away, and he couldn't get it done. It's tough, you know. I don't think Enes Kanter was in the right, you know, kind of, I don't think he was in the wrong for really saying it, but just, you got to be smarter than that, you know. Don't really need any of that to be said, you know, between teams. You don't need another distraction towards another guys. So it's tough, you know. They've been having a great start. Don't get me wrong. OKC is 5-1. They're doing better than the Warriors. So Russell acknowledged that it's another loss that you have to take on the chin. You have to learn from it. You have to go back, watch film, study it. See what you guys did wrong and be ready for the next game. You know, that's all you could do as a basketball player. Be ready to face them in the next game. Come back, you know, win in OKC versus the Thunder, because it's going to be a rival that is going to definitely heat up throughout the season. You guys should definitely pay attention to that OKC and Warriors matchup, because it is going to be nonstop. So that concludes our first segment of today. Later on, we're going to be talking about LeBron James, the scores, top players, power rankings. Also have my good boy, my good friend Gio Medina coming on the show a little bit later. I'm going to be hearing from him, what are his thoughts on the NBA so far, what has he been seeing. But yeah, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. DJ Duncan, Penguin Radio. We will be right back. You're listening to DJ Duncan on the Bounce, radio.dominican.edu. Stay tuned. We will be back shortly. It's not the law forbid it. It's a treacherous act. We all must suffer.
No one knows how it starts. So remember, be careful. Should one cross your path, one innocent movement, and it could be your last. No one knows how it started, and God knows how it led. Fighting continues, women versus men.
Guys, for taking that quick commercial break. This is DJ Duncan. You're live on The Bounce, Tuesdays 4 to 5, Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Interesting topics going on today. I'm going to be discussing for the next 10 minutes a little bit about some trade rumors. Now, trade rumors. Nothing is completely true. Nothing is completely false. But we've seen some names being swung around in the NBA, and it's been catching some attention. You know, definitely some big names on the market, and it's interesting. So let's go through them. Klay Thompson, Warrior fans, alert, alert. Klay Thompson heading to Minnesota for Andrew Wiggins. Now, I don't think the Golden State Warriors are this not to say dumb as an organization, but they're not going to make this deal. They need a spot up shooter. They need someone to help Steph Curry break the pressure. Andrew Wiggins is not their player that they want. Definitely a rumor, you know, in my book. I don't think this trade is going to go through, but you know, I've seen it. You know, there's been some big names surrounding Klay Thompson. You know, he's said they've been looking for, you know, Jimmy Butler and other players that have all-star potential. But for him, for the Golden State Warriors to kind of drop him, you know, Jimmy Butler, Avery Bradley, Jaylen Brown are now on this proposed deal that has never happened. So it's a rumor, like I said. Don't get your heads twisted. It's going to be interesting to see if the Timberwolves make a big move with Andrew Wiggins like this. They have Karl Anthony Towns, Ricky Rubio, Zach LaVine, rookie Chris Dunn. That gives them a respectable starter, but they stumble, you know, to have one in the past 4 of the 5 games. I believe they're only 1-4. But the Thompson swap could be. I think it's definitely better for Minnesota. I think Minnesota is going to win in this deal if this happens, but it's not going to happen. So get over it. Next deal. Okay. We have Carmelo Anthony headed to the Cleveland Cavaliers, Kevin Love to the Miami Heat, and Gordon Dragic to the New York Knicks. 3-team deal. I'm not sure if I'm really liking this as a Cleveland Cavs fan. Let me tell you why. Because Carmelo Anthony, yes, he's a great offensive player. Yes, he's a great shooter. We really need someone in that low post. I don't know. Yeah, I'm talking about it now. I'm like, oh, I might take Carmelo Anthony. But Kevin Love is a guy who's a solid rebounder, who's going to crash the glass every time, doesn't really hang out around the three-point arc, you know, can stretch the floor, but that's only when he's being guarded by a bigger player and has to stretch the floor for LeBron for the kickout. Now, Carmelo can do the same thing, don't get it twisted, but I don't know if he really has that same mindset of rebounding, outletting the ball. He's a player who needs, you know, 20 touches a game, and that might take away from the chemistry. You know, the chemistry is great for the Cleveland Cavs right now. As a fan, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. You know, beat Houston, you know, tough game. Took down the 76ers easy. I'm not trying to mess up the flow or nothing. But Carmelo could stay in New York. Kevin Love to the Miami Heat will help out the Miami Heat for sure. But New York is just getting a bad end of the stick, you know, with Gordon Dragic. So for them to make this trade, I don't think it would be smart on their part at all. You know, at all, definitely. Next trade rumor, we have New Orleans Noel and Ricky Rubio to the Cavs. Iman Shumpert to the Timberwolves in a three-team deal with the 76ers. Now, it's been a rumor all summer that New Orleans Noel was going to get traded because it's kind of, you know, they kind of have three centers in with the whole organization. Just picked up Joel Embiid, who is playing great. Just picked up the other big, Ben Simmons, yes, who's injured. So they kind of need New Orleans Noel for a backup center. But it's been, you know, posted that he's probably the most likely NBA player to be traded during the season. Do we see Noel and Rubio going to the Cavs for Iman Shumpert? You know, this is definitely something that could be on the lookout for NBA fans. It's going to be tough, you know, it's going to be tough for sure. And we're going to see, you know, if that trade follows through. I don't believe it's going to. But we, you know, we could see a difference, you know. You know, let's stay tuned to see if the Cleveland Cavaliers are bold enough to trade Iman Shumpert. Now, I don't feel like the Cavs are losing too much with this deal. However, like I said previously, it's going to mess up their feng shui. And to mess up the relations, mess up, you know, this kind of status that they're at, it's going to be tough. You know, it's definitely going to be tough. Next deal, and the last deal we have for today, we have DeMarcus Cousins teaming up with Damian Lillard, you know, and CJ McCollum. Ah, Portland's big three as it is now. DeMarcus Cousins has been on the trade rumor block for quite a while. You know, I don't know if this is going to be really good for the Portland organization, because we've seen Sacramento, you know, speak on DeMarcus Cousins, say that he's kind of a hothead, doesn't really bring too much to the table besides his, you know, athletic ability and being able to score in the post. But he needs touches for that, and you need to throw him the ball a good amount of times for him to kind of get off, you know, and have his 30 points a game. So I don't think the Portland Trailblazers are going in the right direction. This could definitely be a potential, you know, great pickup, because he provides offensive rebounding, provides rebounding off of Lillard's misses, off of CJ McCollum's misses, which they don't miss rarely. They miss rarely. They're great shooters. But it allows them to stretch the floor a little bit. So this could be something that they really could need in the front court, you know, against teams like the Golden State Warriors, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Something to definitely be on the lookout. DeMarcus Cousins is a great presence. However, organizations have spoke on him, you know, being a hothead and not being able to produce, you know, quality minutes for the organization and being a role player that guys could look up to and build on. You know, so it's definitely going to be tough to see that happening. So we're going to take a quick break, and then right after, we're going to have my good friend Gio Medina join us on the show. He's going to talk a little bit about what he's seen so far, and it's going to be good. So stay tuned. Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to DJ Duncan on the Bounce. Quick break, and we will be right back. And we're still fine time to rap. We're making the one stop. The generation gap. So feel this bumpy. Thanks, everybody, for taking that quick commercial break. Back on, DJ Duncan on the bounce. You're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. With me, I have calling in my good friend Gio Medina. Gio, thank you for joining us. If, for you guys who haven't heard of Gio, who was on a couple of shows back, Gio is a friend of mine, a close family friend, went to high school with him. You know, definitely a guy who I, you know, when I go back home, you know, always talk about sports, talk about basketball, very educated in the sport itself. So I have him here to talk to us about, you know, what he's seeing in this NBA season. Gio, thank you for joining us. You want to say something to your listeners or shout out anybody, you know?
Absolutely. Thank you to the world who are tuning in. I'd like to shout out my good friend from home, Kyle Bassett. I know you're listening right now. But, thank you, JP, for having me on your show.
No problem. First off, we're going to be talking about a little bit about LeBron James, you know, the king himself. First off, LeBron being Election Day and, you know, the father figure that he is to the NBA, he came out with a statement saying basketball comes second on Election Day. Now, he has a game tonight, Gio, against, you know, a tough team in the Atlanta Hawks. But he said, quote unquote, "I think definitely basketball comes second, even though we have a job to do today. You know, following Tuesday's morning shoot around, we will handle that business, but it definitely comes second." He revealed earlier who he was voting for in Hillary Clinton, between him, her, and Donald Trump. But they're actually going to be getting live feed or a live feed of how the election is doing during the game. Now, him being a father figure, Gio, to the NBA, and speaking on something that has nothing to do with basketball, you know, how big is that for other players to see that he's taking the initial step to say something about, you know, the country, which really means something to him? You know, is it good for the NBA? Is it bad for the NBA to take their minds off of it, especially with him having a game? You know, what can other players, you know, see from this, and how does that really, you know, react to the whole league, you know?
I believe NBA players are, what is the word? I feel like their voice is very strong because NBA is a worldwide sport and there are fans all across the globe.
Definitely.
And they look up to these players. I myself look up to LeBron in many ways. Mm-hmm. Just the way, you know, he's a father figure, the way he plays basketball, mm-hmm. how he carries himself. But it does have a big impact as far as opinions and, you know, on the player.
I definitely agree with you there. He was even at a Hillary Clinton rally earlier in October. So it really shows his activity outside of the court and shows how he can, you know, be a father figure to the NBA and have, you know, footsteps for guys to follow after him, definitely being a spokesman for the NBA. And, you know, like you said, so many people look up to him. It's a worldwide network that people look upon. He's had nothing but good things to say. He hasn't really said anything bad about Donald Trump either, which is the man, you know, LeBron James himself is, you know, being a respectful person. But I think that can definitely, you know, go through the NBA and have a positive effect on many teams, many organizations, and players. Now, LeBron did something special earlier in the season, a couple games ago against the 76ers. He moved into the NBA all-time scoring leaders in the top 10. He gets recognized with guys like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Dirk Nowitzki, Shaquille O'Neal, Wilt Chamberlain, Karl Malone. How big of this move is to LeBron James? You think he's really worried about being in the top 10 right now, scoring leaders, or does this affect his mindset at all for the rest of the season, Gio? Or how do you think LeBron should go about this? You know, I personally think it doesn't really faze him, but it's a big deal, and people were tweeting and talking about it. And, you know, by the end of the season, he could potentially pass Shaquille O'Neal at the number 7 spot. So what does this mean to LeBron moving into this top echelon of players?
I believe for LeBron, it's a big accomplishment because he gets to put his name somewhere around the all-time greats like Jordan, Kobe, Kareem, and all types of other players. But LeBron is a facilitator. He's not a scorer. He gets his, but his first priority isn't to drop 40 on a team. His first priority is to get his teammates involved.
That's true.
And play defense.
That's true.
But, you know, LeBron strives for greatness, and he's aware of what he's doing is special.
Yeah.
But that doesn't come in his head like, I need to go drop or average 30 this season to speed up the process.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously very happy, but I think his main goal is to make another finals appearance, lead his team, and in hopes of repeating.
Yeah, which he will, I believe.
I believe so, too.
Even Tyronn Lue came out and said he could average a triple-double if he wanted to. He came out, you know, in the season opener, had a triple-double. It looked like it was kind of effortless. But it was crazy to see, you know, him moving into the ranks at such a young age. He's been in the league since he was a teenager. Crazy to see him do this now. I've been watching him the last 10 years and his progress.
We've been blessed.
We have been blessed, you know, with the king. So on opposite ends, switch the floor around a little bit. Earlier I was speaking on Stephen Curry and his performance last night. I don't know if you caught the game, but he made 13 three-pointers. Now, this is after he had a 0-for-10 performance against the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, what can you say on Curry and him, you know, coming back from a down night? We know the NBA is all about ups and downs, like I previously stated, and guys can go for 40 one night. I think Jimmy Butler last year had a 50-point game, and then the next game he had 2 points. So it's definitely an up-and-down league. Where do you think Curry's head is at right now after having a poor performance going to a great performance?
For Stephen Curry, he is the best shooter of all time.
Mm-hmm.
As a Cavs fan, I have to pay homage to Stephen Curry.
Yeah.
But for someone like him, if he shoots 0-for-10 or goes one night shooting 13-for-17 from the three, as a shooter, he never puts his head down. Every shooter knows that it only takes one shot to change your mentality, to change your confidence, and whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it could shoot you out of a game or shoot you in a game. It's kind of a gamble, but for someone like Curry, he knows who he is, what kind of scorer he can be, and how big of an effective player he is.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone special like him, he just goes through the process.
Yeah.
Goes to the game, sees what the defense gives him.
Mm-hmm.
If he hits a few, obviously that's his green light to keep shooting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man.
If he doesn't already have 13, a green light, you know.
13 threes is unbelievable. I was at work last night, and my friend was telling me he shot 13 threes, and I'm just like, wow, what a performance.
Crazy, crazy to see. Stephen Curry has had his up-and-down performances in the first 5 games of the series, so it's going to be interesting to see their consistency and how much they bring to the table, you know, at the end of the season, and how much of a playoff run can they make. I said it here, you heard it here first, they are not making the finals, people. Don't put your money Ooh. In Vegas Ooh. When they don't make the finals. Okay.
So with that statement being said, my question to you is, who will the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James be facing in the NBA Finals?
I believe it's tough to say. It's tough to say right now. I'm going to have to make a bold statement because, you know, teams have been so much up and downs. But I'm going to say the Houston Rockets are moving into the finals and taking an L to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Houston? Well, I'm just curious. I'm just kidding. I mean, I'm just curious. What makes you think that? I was like,
came out of left field, right? Yeah, yeah.
Even the Clippers. Even though the Clippers have problems in the playoffs. I'm just very curious.
Like I said, bold statement coming from Penguin Radio. But San Antonio, I think they really have what it takes. But Houston is rolling right now. Houston is rolling. Even against their loss to LeBron, I think Harden had like 40 and like 14 assists.
Yeah, he had 10. I think he had 9 or 10 assists that game.
Once they start gelling, Gio, it's going to be ugly for the Western Conference because James Harden is on a mission. You know, he said it before the season that he's coming for heads. You know, so I'm gonna make a bold statement. It's bold, like I said. You know, I got to take a risk on it. I think Houston is gonna come out. You know, I may sound a little bit, you know, oozy or whatever, but I'm gonna make a bold statement and go with my boy James.
He is a great player, a great point guard.
Yeah, and he's dropping crazy numbers. They haven't been successful. He scored 30 against the Atlanta Hawks in a 112-97 loss. Lost to the Los Angeles Lakers, lost to the Cleveland Cavs. But they're having good games, and they're not losing by much. So I feel like once they start gelling, they're really going to make a deep run into the playoffs and possibly, you know, cause some commotion, you know, in the Western Conference. So that concludes, you know, Stephen Curry and LeBron James. We have another surprising factor here in the NBA, Gio, and it's coming out of left field as well. And it comes out of Southern California, the Los Angeles Lakers. They have been rolling, Gio. Fans are going crazy down in SoCal. What have you seen from Laker fans, first off, in these past couple games? Have Laker fans appeared from the, you know, the gutters in the shade? And definitely coming out, you know, supporting their team.
Right. The Warrior fans in L.A.
They switched back from the Warriors to the Lakers down there. But, yeah, they've been having successful. They beat the Golden State Warriors. They're 4-3 right now, over 500.
Over.
Yeah.
Which we haven't heard of in a very long time.
Exactly. They barely won 16 games last year. You know, it was tough for them.
Very.
And Kobe's looking down on them, probably smiling somewhere, you know, looking at his little kids.
Absolutely.
Like so proud, you know. But after beating the Warriors, they improved to 3-0 at the Staples Center. They've gotten quality minutes from Julius Randle and D'Angelo Russell, who, not to mention, put Curry and Klay on a little bit of ice skates when they played.
Yes.
But you know, they have a young team. Luke Walton has definitely brought some of that Warrior, you know, mentality.
Energy,
yes. Energy. There you go, yeah. Definitely bringing some Warrior energy, probably changing up training camp a little bit. And he's learned from Coach Steve Kerr, and thus far their offense is ranked 12th in the NBA after finishing last, you know, 29th last season. So right now they're in the 12th spot of, you know, their offensive ranking. But this is big. This is big for the Los Angeles Lakers. Does it put pressure on them, or are they going to be rolling and having some momentum throughout the season, Gio? What do you think is going to go on with them?
I think it's both, JP. Mm-hmm. I think, obviously, as a basketball fan from Southern California, we were spoiled with Kobe's greatness all my whole life.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always expected Kobe in the finals or in a deep playoff run or winning. And, you know, they hit rock bottom and, you know, everybody's sad or everybody's pissed off and trade this guy, trade that guy, that now, you know, I think it was a good thing for Kobe to retire for the Lakers' future,
mm-hmm.
you know, just because he was obviously so old, man. And it looks like they have all the momentum right now. Like, I see the way they're playing. I just feel like they're all having a great time.
Yeah,
like, they're very comfortable.
They look like they're having fun. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, that loss against Indiana, they could have won that game, but, I mean, Paul George just scored the last 12 points of the game in the fourth quarter and just went off. But, you know, all these losses that they're taking, they're very close. They're not blowouts like they were last season. And, you know, I think we're all seeing a young and hungry Lakers team.
Yeah. Do they make it into the playoffs this year?
I've told people that the Lakers will make the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
I truly believe the Los Angeles Lakers are going to be in this season's playoffs.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, they've been playing good, like you said, watching on it. It looks like they're enjoying themselves. They're playing team ball. D'Angelo's having a good time. Not too much cocky, but he's confident. You know, he's confident in his ability. A great player in Ohio State, you know, what he did as a freshman. Had a year last year in the league, was kind of rough with Byron Scott, Kobe Bryant, you know, all looking down on him really and seeing what he's going to do. So he had a bunch of pressure last year, and I think he's embracing it really well this year. Definitely had the Nick Young incident, which put him off again.
Yes, I was just about to speak about that. I feel like D'Angelo Russell had to do a lot of growing up to do,
mm-hmm.
especially being in an L.A. sports franchise, just because L.A. is Hollywood, man. That's all we think of it around the world.
Yeah.
But that incident, you know, he had to grow up really fast.
Yeah. So he's learning from his mistakes. You know, he's definitely showing that he's a confident player in the league. And they're a force to be reckoned with. No, definitely a force to be reckoned with. So now, before we go over the games for today, Gio, I have something else I wanted to talk about. Last week we talked about how Archie Goodwin was waived from the Phoenix Suns and where he would go. He has found a home in New Orleans Pelicans. Now, New Orleans Pelicans have waived injured Lance Stephenson. This was bigger news because Lance Stephenson was a guy who has been going up and down in his career. With the Pacers, he had some standout performances that brought him to a good contract with the Clippers, eventually going to the New Orleans Pelicans and signing a pretty big deal. So for them to waive him like that, what does that do to Lance Stephenson? You know, he's had, like I said, great years with the Indiana Pacers. Is that going to kind of, you know, disrupt his mindset in the league? You know, we've seen Lance kind of being a hard head and, you know, not really caring what other people say about him, but he's been injured. And for them to just waive him, it's kind of like, we don't really need you anymore. You know, Stephenson has said that he's going to, you know, be back in the league as soon as he gets healthy and probably be back in the next couple months. Even said, you know, he could very well be back with the Pelicans. So would he want to come back to a team that just waived him? You know, how does that affect his mindset as a player being waived and them just picking up another guy? You know, does that defeat him at all, Gio?
You know what? I feel very, very sad for Lance Stephenson because, you know, I wish no injuries upon any professional or person who has love for sports. It's
mm-hmm.
just something no one should go through, but it's part of life.
Mm-hmm.
But back to your question, I feel like that'll make Lance Stephenson very, very hungry after being done wrong. Because, you know, it's not like we wake up and we want to say, I want to get hurt. You know,
yeah.
He wants to contribute. But with that being said, we all have to understand that the NBA is a business first over passion. And, you know, a lot of people will complain, like, oh, why does this name get so much money, and why does this guy get so much money? Well, pretty common, you know. They don't know what's going to happen in a week or a month or tomorrow. You know, there's just no time to tell. So if they have the opportunity, they're going to try and get all the dollars they can get in case something serious happens. Like,
like
I look at Derrick Rose as an example. He's been battling with injuries
mm-hmm.
his whole career, but you know, he's been trying to get every dollar he can get. Yeah. And, you know, I feel bad for Lance. I hope for a recovery for him. And I still hope he could still take over the game. I wish he didn't leave Indiana.
Yeah.
I really felt like that was his best – that was his best shot at having, like, a very, very successful career.
Yeah, he meshed
Larry
well.
Larry Bird was very invested. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, he meshed well with the Pacer team and the organization themselves. So I was really disappointed when I did see him leave for the money. So, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do as a player, like you said. So it was tough. Now we have the games of the day. I'm just going to go over them real quick. Say the teams they're playing, what time, and you're going to give me a winner or and a loser. All right, Gio?
Sounds great, JP.
So we have, at first, kind of a no-brainer for any fan watching the NBA. We have the Cleveland Cavaliers against the Atlanta Hawks. Who do you have winning in this key matchup tonight? Take it. Now, the score is 34-31. Cavaliers, second quarter, 6 minutes left.
I'm actually watching that game right now, JP. But, you know, I feel like the Cleveland Cavaliers will win this game by at least 10 tonight.
Well said.
You know, Dennis Schroeder is a up-and-coming point guard, but Kyrie Irving is just too much of a player.
Yeah, Dennis Schroeder got to learn how to shoot. You know, he definitely got to develop a jump shot and
jumpers,
a three
jumpers
point.
Jumpers matter.
Yeah. So next game we have the Timberwolves versus the Nets at 4:30. It is currently on right now. The score is 15-10. First quarter, 7 minutes left. Brooklyn is up. Who do you have winning the game, Gio?
You got Karl-Anthony Towns. You got a shot at winning. I'm gonna go with the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight.
Okay. We have the Minnesota Timberwolves making a 5-point comeback and taking the lead and eventually winning in Gio's book. Next, we have Memphis Grizzlies versus the Denver Nuggets. Now, both teams, Denver Nuggets are 3-3. Grizzlies are 3-4. They've been kind of struggling but have showed some good strides. Who do you have winning in this matchup tonight, Gio?
I'm going to have to go with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Okay. Good organization. Definitely defensive minded. We'll see if they pull that out tonight. Next game on League Pass, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We have the Phoenix Suns against the Portland Trailblazers. Now the Phoenix Suns have been having some production from Devin Booker. What do you expect from this game tonight? And who do you have winning between Dame and Devin Booker?
Devin Booker is one great scorer, man. But are they playing in Portland or in Phoenix?
They are playing at Portland.
Ooh. I can't let my guy Dame down. I'm going to go with the Portland Trailblazers.
Portland Trailblazers winning. Next game, we have two more left. We got the Dallas Mavericks, 1-5. Chandler Parsons has not been performing. Harrison Barnes has not been performing. We need to see some more production from those two guys. But they are taking on the Los Angeles Lakers in the 4-3 Lakers.
Ooh.
Who do you have winning at L.A.? Granted, they haven't lost at home yet. Do you see the Mavericks pulling the upset for the Los Angeles Lakers?
I don't, man. I see all this momentum with the Lakers.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to go with the Lakers tonight.
Okay. Now, for the last game of the night, we have New Orleans Pelicans, who are 0-7. They've been struggling, Gio. Anthony Davis has been producing. He needs some help, man.
His numbers are out of the world.
Outrageous. You know, 50, 45, like 45 again, 30. He's been going off. They are facing DeMarcus Cousins and the Sacramento Kings. Will DeMarcus be able to slow down Anthony Davis tonight and give them another loss? Who do you have winning in this matchup tonight?
Ooh, you know, that's a good – this is a great question.
It's at Sacramento.
Oh, man. At Sacramento.
Yeah.
I don't know what Anthony Davis can do at this point. Like, all these numbers, these 50 and, like, what can a man do? Like,
for real.
You know, you could, like, he has half 100 points, and you can't get this man a win? Like, they need to pay this man, like, $300 million or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he needs a raise.
For sure, he needs a raise. But I'm going to have to go with – I'm gonna give it Anthony Davis.
The brow is winning in Gio's book.
The brow is winning tonight.
Great picks from Gio Medina. Gio, I'd like to thank you for being on today. Viewers enjoy you. You have a great insight for the basketball game. Definitely something, you know, that we could speak on in future. Well, that concludes our show today here on Penguin Radio. This is DJ Duncan. I'd like to thank all my viewers for listening in each week. Been a great stretch. Enjoyed you guys. Enjoyed doing this. Don't forget, you know, listen to Penguin Radio. We have a bunch of artists and DJs that are coming on upcoming. Check our website, radio.dominican.edu, to find out what times and when they are talking. But, yeah, I'd like to say goodbye and thank you to all my fans here on Penguin Radio. This is DJ Duncan. You're listening to On the Bounce on radio.dominican.edu. Hope everyone enjoys your evening, and go Cavs.